But she shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. This is Pastor Gordon Connor. I want to invite you to stay with us. We're going to talk about the Spirit-empowered witness on standing on the promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring.
Welcome, and glad to have you with us for another broadcast of Standing on the Promises, coming to you as a local church ministry of Greater Vancouver Baptist Church, located on the east side of Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And we're glad that you could be with us. We are going to be in the book of Acts today, chapter number 1. Invite you to, if you're able to have a Bible open, to be able to join with us and follow along. We're going to begin today with a rousing song entitled, Go Ye.
Thank you.
Acts 1 verse 11, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." A couple of weeks ago, I shared with you a message based upon this verse, this same Jesus, shared with you. It was our church theme for this new year of 2021. And we went in that message, we went sort of through a quick introduction of the book of Acts. What I didn't share last time is that we're going to begin a study of this second book given by the Holy Spirit and written by Luke, the author of our last study, the Gospel of Luke. Now, let's understand that the book of Acts is a book of history, which describes the ongoing ministry of the risen and exalted Lord Jesus Christ, a ministry he continues through his Spirit-filled and empowered witnesses to this day. 2021 marks the 39th year of Greater Vancouver Baptist Church, but when we consider our history, it really goes back much further. The account of the early churches recorded in the book of Acts is our history too. The people we will meet and learn about are our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Of course, the people of God did not just suddenly appear in the first century. I mean, God's always had a people for himself, a people to whom he displays his glory, but also a people through whom he displays his glory. And clearly, the book of Acts marks a turning point in God's redemptive history. These 28 chapters describe the history of the mission of the early churches, and because we are part of that history and mission, the book is of great importance to us. It is our spiritual history, a family history. Now, the history covers a relatively short period of time. Michael Green wrote this, and I found it very interesting, and I quote, "Three crucial decades in world history. That is all it took. In the years between A.D. 33 and A.D. 64, a new movement was born. In those 30 years, it got sufficient growth and credibility to become the largest religion the world has ever seen and to change the lives of hundreds of millions of people. It has spread into every corner of the globe. It has more than 2 billion who identify themselves as Christian. It has had an indelible impact on civilization, on culture, on education, on medicine, on government, on freedom, and of course, on the personal lives of countless people worldwide. And the seedbed for all this, the time when it took decisive root, was these 3 decades. It all began with a dozen apostles, a small gathering of believing men and women, and then the Spirit came." So much happened in 30 short years. That, by the way, end of quote, makes us wonder what God could do through believers today if we would let him. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, Luke's message continues. The former treatise, verse 1 of Acts chapter 1, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." Now, what do we know about Luke? Well, we know he was a doctor. As such, he would have been educated and presumably pretty well-to-do. He made trips with the Apostle Paul, was loyal to him even while Paul was in prison. We can imagine that his medical skills came in handy. Paul regularly needed a doctor after the many beatings that he received. Luke was also a prolific writer. He recorded for us the stories of the prodigal son, the good Samaritan, the day of Pentecost, and his work showed a remarkable depth of precise historical research. He investigated and reported on a vast amount of information. In fact, the book of Luke and the book of Acts contain more material than all of Paul's letters combined. Yet Luke records virtually nothing about his own life. That's a sign of humility. Doesn't boast about his relationship with the Apostle Paul, nor does he go into detail about his own story. Instead, we read about Luke's passion for the life-changing gospel, his sensitivity for the disadvantaged, his heart for prayer and his concern for the Gentiles. And all of this history reminds us that biblical Christianity is not built on man's speculation or someone's wild imaginations, but on historical revelation. Jesus Christ really did live. He died, and he rose bodily. He appeared to hundreds of witnesses. He taught 40 days before ascending. Luke records the details about the real life and ministry of Jesus, as well as insights into the beginnings of the early churches. And this is so very, very important. I mean, while the world does not need a historical Buddha to have Buddhism, it must have a historical Christ to have genuine Christianity. And we do. Further, if Jesus is dead, then Christianity is really dead. But I rejoice to tell you today, dear friends, he is alive. The historical facts like these serve as wonderful faith builders, but for us as believers, and it really is important apologetic arguments that are useful as we share the faith to present-day Theophiluses, as this book was written to. Jesus' ministry also continues. I mean, the Lord Jesus is clearly the focus of the opening verses of the book of Acts. And it's a fitting start because the Holy Spirit, through Luke, is preparing us to see how the Lord Jesus' ministry continues through believers and churches. Luke reminds us that Jesus' ministry involved both words and deeds. He says so right in verse 1, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. During his earthly lifetime, Jesus taught all the time. There is never a moment that he did not use to speak truth, to seek to have it enter into the ears and hearts of his listeners. And the same is true about his works. Now, it wasn't that he was constantly doing miracles. He did many, to be sure. In fact, I don't know about your Bible, but if you have it open, you look across to the tail end of the Gospel of John, chapter 21 and 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they were should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. But miracles were really reserved to meet needs and to add to his credentials as Messiah. However, his doing extends far beyond the miracles to his ministry among people, his caring and compassion, like the children taken up in his arms. The words and works of Jesus go together, and this ministry of the Lord Jesus has been given to us to carry on until he returns. You know, the ascension of the Lord Jesus is in some ways sort of like Elijah's passing on of his mantle of authority to Elisha as he was taken up in a whirlwind to heaven. The disciples had been with Jesus, one far greater than Elijah, and now he was giving them the privilege and responsibility of doing his work and preaching his word after he ascended back to heaven and the Father. The timing of the Lord's ascension is important because it occurred only after the 40 days of infallible proofs of his physical, bodily resurrection. Now, we know from the gospel accounts and from 1 Corinthians 15 that he appeared on several occasions, eating, touching, talking, teaching. A crowd of 500 saw him all together at once. I don't think he stood up on a hill and said, "Hey, folks, I'm up here." No, I think he mingled with them and taught them, and they all knew that he had risen from the dead the third day, just as he promised. And the ministry of Jesus Christ continues to this day because Jesus is alive. Now, we know how the apostles responded. We considered that last time we met in the book of Acts. And they stood there looking up at this last amazing sight, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. He just began to go up, higher and higher, until he reached the clouds, and then he was gone. What were they to do? He had said, wait. But why? And how were they to know the power of the Holy Spirit? And then the two men appear, verse 10. While they looked up steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And they had a question and then a message. And it tells us really much about Christ's return. And as I shared with you 2 weeks ago, this marvelous promise, this same Jesus. You know, I'm so thankful for a Lord and Savior who never changes and who is always there for me. You know, because Jesus is alive and always the same, then we can be assured of his ongoing ministry in the world, the doing and the teaching. In fact, verse 8 here outlines how he intends for his word to go into all the world, and this book of Acts will cover the start of all of it. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Acts chapters 1 through 7, the word travels through the city of Jerusalem. Acts chapters 8 through 12, it spreads out into Judea and Samaria. Acts chapters 13 to 20, it moves to the uttermost part of the earth, Asia and Greece. Acts chapter 21 to 28 continues to move further into the uttermost part of the earth, reaching now into the Roman Empire. Luke's message continues, Jesus' ministry continues, the church's witness continues. In verse 6, we see that the disciples demonstrated a particular interest in the restoration of Israel. And when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? But instead, you know, the Lord directed them to the global nature of his kingdom and to their part in that mission in which he had called them to be witnesses. Now, the disciples were obviously too limited in their thinking. So Jesus shakes up their world as he tells them that the plan for them is to cross not just geographical barriers, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth, but cultural barriers as well. These believers were to proclaim the person and work of the risen Christ, and they were to proclaim how Christ accomplished the prophecy of crushing the head of the serpent, Satan, and providing a way for sinners to be reconciled with the Father. You know, what is exciting for us today as born-again believers is that we are equally entrusted with this glorious truth. We share the new life that they possess through Christ, and we too are commissioned to go forth in his name. Though many people had the amazing privilege of actually seeing the Lord, not all first century believers did. They received the witness given them, backed with infallible proofs. Then over time, God the Holy Spirit directed godly men to write down for generations to come the clear and unmistakable truth of a Savior who gave himself for us. And we today, well, we've been blessed to have before us the very Word of God, an amazing book, alive, powerful, without error, infallible. It is the foundation of our faith. It is only through its working that we have the basis to believe. Romans tells us faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, like the first century disciples, we have the privilege of bearing witness about the good news of the Messiah to anyone and everyone. Now, let's talk a little bit about that. The people who were to witness, and that is all believers. You know, one of the great gifts of the Holy Spirit is that all believers can now speak for God. In a sense, all believers are preachers. No believer is to be a mere spectator, but a player. The apostles certainly led the churches, but the gospel advanced largely through the words and deeds of unordained and uneducated people, informal missionaries, we might call them, and we'll see this throughout the book of Acts. Churches today, in fact, desperately need to rediscover this truth. You know, the only difference in a believer sitting at his or her Canadian home or American home and a foreign missionary that's out on the field is location, not identity. Every Christian is a missionary. And so each of us should ask, where do I serve? To whom do I minister? The path of witness, though, is suffering. You know, to follow the Lamb involves suffering. In several places in the Gospels, Jesus told the disciples they would suffer. In the book of Acts, we're going to find out that they indeed did suffering. You know, crossing cultural barriers, standing up in the face of opposition, confronting error, proclaiming God's truth requires sacrifice. And we see that there was an escalation of persecution even in Jerusalem. It moved from threats to beatings and imprisonment and eventually martyrdom. And we find a theme of suffering continues throughout the rest of the book of Acts. And honestly, it continues into our day as the devil rages against believers and churches. It is interesting to note, though, that suffering seems to be part of God's ordained means of advancing the gospel. Dedicated believers shared his truth wherever they go in spite of what they encounter. In fact, I believe history reveals that it is in the times of greatest suffering that the gospel goes out with far greater impact. In fact, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." I've been reading a book written by a friend of mine, Paul Chappell, called Outsiders, wrote it a couple years ago, and it's a collection of those who bore witness of the truth of the gospel in dark and difficult days. Many of them became martyrs for the Lord and his truth, men like Wycliffe and Tyndale and Ridley and Sattler and Hubmaier and Bunyan. Their stories are moving, to say the least. Really, the path of a witness is suffering. The power of the witness, the Holy Spirit. Praise God, we are not left on our own in this mission that Jesus has given us. Luke reminds us of the Spirit's presence and power. He said, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." The fact is, we must be clothed with his power if we're going to be faithful and effective witnesses. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." The disciples had received the essential information of the message to proclaim, and they would within days receive the power to carry out God's work God's way. Another man wrote, and I found this good, and I quote, "Ordinary people of God, equipped with the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, dedicated to serving the Son of God, can fulfill and accomplish the mission of God. Sharing the right message is only half the matter. We must be personally reliant on the Spirit of God." End of quote. And the people in need of this witness? The nations. Interesting verses in Revelation chapter 5. "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Revelation 7, "After this I behold, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." Wow. You ever wonder at the great multitude in heaven? It's made up of people of every tribe, nation, tongue, language, people, races. What brings them all together? Well, it's because we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. How is that possible? It is possible because the God of the Bible is not an ethnic God. Jesus made it clear. Yes, the Jews had a wonderful relationship with God and still hold a special place in his plan. But the gospel is for everyone. Preach the gospel to every creature. Teach all nations. Preached in his name among all nations. Oh, we live in a day of warring factions over about just everything. The division and enmity of people against each other because of the color of their skin is beyond anything I've seen in my lifetime. And try as we want to, I doubt it's going to be resolved except at the cross of Jesus Christ. Everyone needs the salvation that is offered only through him. And it's important for us. Well, the passion of a witness, it's Jesus Christ. You see, a proper zeal for the kingdom comes only when we have a passion for the King. And as these disciples stood gazing up into heaven, awed by his glory, and as they later received the promise of the Spirit, it stirred an even greater love for their Savior and Lord. Oh, may the Lord deepen our love for the light of the world, the Savior who came to seek and to save that which was lost, this same Jesus. Dear friend, we need today, I think more than any time, maybe in human history, I don't know, we need Spirit-empowered witness in this troubled world in which we live. May we be bold in the truth of the gospel. Maybe we be filled with love for all the diverse people groups around the world and in our own neighborhood. May our hearts burn with love for the one who loved us and gave himself for us. But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Such a wonderful, well-known verse, heard so many times in churches, at missions conferences, but it should burn in our heart all the time. And I trust that as we look at what God says to us and reveals to us through this book of Acts, I pray that each one of us who listens will recognize the commissioning that God has given us and take it up and proclaim his truth to all the world. May the Lord bless you. And let's keep witnessing for him.
Standing on the Promises comes to you as a ministry of Greater Vancouver Baptist Church. Our services begin on Sunday mornings at 9:45 with Sunday school, followed by our main worship service at 11. We close out the Lord's Day with an evening service at 6:30. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would like to extend an invitation to you, our listeners, to join us for any of these services. If you would like more information about our church and its ministries, why not visit our website at gvbc.ca. You can find directions to our church, a bit of our history, details on our ministries, and even past programs of Standing on the Promises. That web address again is gvbc.ca. If you would like to write to us, our address is 4440 Victoria Drive, Vancouver, British Columbia, V5N4N6.
This is Pastor Gordon Connor. If I can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please be sure to get in touch. May the Lord bless you, and thanks for listening.